Okay, so Mirtzah Hashem Yisbarach, we're starting today. We're moving on. This is actually the 15th class of this entire series. We're talking about the Midah of, exactly, right? The Midah of Kas. What is Kas? We know Kas is anger. But again, like we've seen so far before, we've seen so many different Midahs. We have a word for it, but we don't really understand its technicalities, its depth under the hood of the Midah itself that we want to kind of get involved in. So let's delve into something. There's actually something really, really shocking in this Or HaSadikim, which I'm telling you, is going to knock your socks off. Okay, so here we go. So much has been written about the subject of anger, of its terrible consequences. Of its terrible consequences for the soul and for the world around us. Nobody likes being around people that are anger, people that are bitter. The least likable people are people that just send out messages and vibes, that karma, that vibe, that sense of what? They're bitter, they're angry, they're just frustrated at life. And as you get older, this is one of the severe challenges of life, the older you get, right now, you may not understand this. I'm talking Chinese to people right now, 18, 19, 20 years old. Bitterness, so yeah, you're bitter for other things. But like real bitterness, you know what they call midlife crisis, right? What is midlife crisis? A person wakes up in the middle of their life, midlife, they look at their husband and say, that's not the husband I thought I wanted. These aren't the kids that I wanted. This ain't the job that I wanted. This isn't the house that I wanted. And ultimately, this isn't the life that I wanted. People like that are bitter, are sad, and unfortunately do severely drastic things. When a person gets to a place of anger, a place of bitterness and anger, they can do, unfortunately, severely, severely drastic things. So if someone who lets their anger consume them is often ultimately left alone and is a pariah to everyone in the world. A unique aspect of anger and the danger that lies in it is when it manifests most strongly on the outside. Let's take a look at source number one in the Or HaSadikim. Read it together. Adam sheyesh boi midas hakas. Someone who has the midah, the quality of anger. Will you read it in English or should I do it in Hebrew? Both? Okay. Umachriach es midasoi. And in a sense, forces himself and is able to, machriach means to kind of like push himself and to even squelch his midah, to really kind of, what do they call it? What's the term they use? Suppress his anger, right? Ki'ilu enu mibalaka. As someone who's able to get to a place where although they're really, really angry, they're really shook, and they want to get upset, and they're about, but they don't let it out. All of Nehemiah, the Torah speaks upon this such an individual. Such a person is Moshe Baruch Melekadir. He's like almost like a master of his domain, a master of his universe. He's a powerful individual. That person has risen above such high heights. Someone who can reach a level where they've suppressed their anger to hold it back and doesn't let it out. Wow. Such a special person. And I can hear already the questions everybody's asking. We'll get to them. Don't worry. Ms. Deutsch, we'll get there. Ve'erech HaPayim. One of the midas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu we speak about is Hashem's Erech HaPayim. What does it mean, Erech HaPayim? His long face. Erech, long, like Orech. HaPayim is face. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that Hashem has a long face, because God doesn't have a face. It means that Hashem is able to kind of just let it chill. Just let it happen, give it a little bit of a break, not to respond right away. They say this in general about anger, especially when it comes to your kids, when it comes to anything. Believe me, I am not perfect in it. You can ask all my children. If you respond right away, it's most likely, more than not, the wrong reaction. You're most likely not going to do the right thing, and it's probably going to be more destructive action that you're going to do. I had this recently. I don't want to speak in front of the recording, but I had my son. I was changing his pants. We were getting ready for the next day, and all of a sudden, I pull off his pants, and there's just like tons of money in his pocket. Where do you think he got that money from? I was so angry. I did not respond the way that I wish I responded. Okay, let's leave it at that. But why was I so frustrated? I was so frustrated because, of course, it's the feeling of being betrayed. It's the feeling of the shock of, like, you want to look at your children as innocent. And believe me, it's very normal for kids to do that. It's an overall process. You know, you have to know exactly how to handle it, and you have to be healthy, have a healthy response towards it. But for sure, at that moment, to start just wailing on the kid, for sure that ain't a good answer, right? To start screaming and shouting, they say about the Altar of Kelm. You guys know who the Altar of Kelm was? One of the major students of the Sol Salanter. He always had a rule. Anytime he was frustrated, he first would go put on his anger coat. You know that? In his closet, he had a specific kapata, a specific coat that he literally only wore when he was upset. Because why? If you can lengthen that gap from the moment of you have the initial reaction to the actual reaction of the manifesting outside, you can almost more likely than not be able to stave off the reaction, the feelings, and then ultimately the bad reaction, the bad manifestation that can come out of it. If you can just kind of figure out a way how to hack that at that very moment, you can severely, severely take away a lot of damaging things. Unfortunately, a lot of us, maybe not everyone in the room, but can imagine at least that anger and screaming and shouting is just not good. It's not healthy for anybody. Nobody likes it. So that's what the Rav Tzadikim says. A fascinating idea. That someone who's able to control his midah of kas, to hold it back, not let it out, even though he feels it, amazing. Amar HaChacham. Mish, I'm moving on to the next piece. Misha kasoi b'machshava. Someone who's angry in their mind. Tiral of hayishuvai hadar. Someone who is deeply upset, frustrated, angry, and justified, not justified. It doesn't matter. You have anger in your mind. You have anger in your machshava. You can see upon that individual, and someone who's able to restrain it says in English as well, you can see dignity and glory on their countenance. Wow. That person, again, is worthy to be praised. However, though, what's the opposite? Misha kasor alav shalev machshava. Someone who does not have it just in their mind, but they actually let it out. Tir alav ashtos. That person is a total fool. Horrible, terrible, not a good thing. Let's take a step back what we just read. If anybody realized, we just read something severely, severely shocking. Dvar Chasidim says something like this. He said that someone who has anger and suppresses it, you're amazing. But if you let it out, the worst. Where do we ever find that when it comes to any other midah? It's very interesting. But every other midah, when it comes to the midah of gaiva, if I'm thinking in my head, hadi tadi, I'm above this person next to me, but I just don't show it, I just am able to kind of withhold it. I'm able to kind of play the game, speak nicely to him, but internally I think this guy's a total nebuch, this person's a total weirdo, I don't want to have anything to do with them, but okay, I'll get through with it, for whatever I need to get through. Is that person considered to be a good individual? Is that person, is even better, is the person that's worthy to be praised?
It's like the same with Lashon Hara, though. Like if you don't say it,
oh, so they're interesting. There is an element of Lashon Hara. We'll talk. That's a very, very good tushdel that can actually pretty much answer our question. But let's put that aside for now. But it's a very good point. But seemingly, it doesn't fit with any other midah. The midah of kina. What's kina? I want what you got. I may never steal. I may never take it from you. I may never, ever, ever do any action towards taking your things. But just the etzem chemda, the inherent desire that I want what you got, is problematic, is aser. And yet somehow, when it comes to kas, it's only similar, interesting again, similar to Lashon Hara, as you stated, similar to Lashon Hara, that it's only what? It's only if you let it out. Which, by the way, seems to run counter to everything that we speak about. What do we always talk about, which is what Aliza was going to ask before, which is, and I have Ruach HaKadosh, because this is the answer, and watch this mic drop. She said, but wait a minute, suppressing your anger, isn't that not healthy? I know, exactly, I've taught this year before, right? Right? How in the world, what it means to suppress anger, that's severely damaging, that's dangerous. You, if you don't let it out, you may let it out on somebody else. It's got to go somewhere. As everybody knows, as Aliza Deutsch is about to say, the body keeps the score, right? Which, by the way, has been disproven, right? There's actually no scientific proof behind that. Not that I disagree inherently, but there is. If you believe something's true and it's helpful, then it's enough already. But the fact that it's scientifically true, that the body inherently keeps trauma, there's no such proof that the body has... The only memory, only the brain that has memory cells can retain trauma, but your back doesn't retain trauma. Okay, interesting discussions. We'll talk about it a different time. It's a different story for a different discussion. Ayan, what's her name? Abigail Schreier. What? No, Lisa, I see you said everything. Okay, anyway, you didn't need to say anything, okay? It was nicker on your face. Which is, again, no, but I'm just brushing the point, which is that this, l'chayra, how could you suppress anger? Adaraba, isn't the best thing in the entire world to let it out? Okay, in a safe space. I'm not saying you should let it out on your kids. I'm not saying you should let it out on your husband. I'm not saying you should let it out on your friends. But at least to have space of a, what do they call, a healthy outlet. L'chayra, maybe there's something that we're missing here. Or maybe Torah is wrong. Hey, could be. No. Aser. Okay. This is a truly eye-opening idea. The Orach HaTzadikim is telling us that if a person is internally angry, but is successful in restraining himself, he is worthy of tremendous praise. But if someone allows anger to creep out, even on their face, literally, as he even says, someone who just shows it a little bit on their face, you let that little crinkle out, that little frustration out, oy vavoy, this is a major fault. But why is this so? We don't find anywhere else when it comes to kinah, when it comes to gaiva. These are all internal midas that you shouldn't be having at all. Just to rebuttress the question. However, anger, as it seems again, only is wrong when it's unleashed. But the minute that it's not unleashed, not a problem, not a big deal. Even if you feel it internally. What is going on up here? We understand anger, of course, destroys a person from within and should be avoided at all costs. We should avoid and ideally strive to never be people who don't feel anger at all. But of course, we're humans. You have a question? Okay. Okay, so good. Maybe we'll get to the answers in a second, but I want to be able to build it out properly, especially because I think it's going to very well connect to what she's saying, but we'll get to it in a second. So how do we understand it? Again, has anybody heard this concept? It's called rage rooms. I have to tell you this. I'll say it again. I'll say it again. Rage rooms is all, it used to be, I mean, now it's not a big deal, but now it used to be all the rage. No pun intended, right? I know, hilarious. Anyway, rage room, although by the way, seemingly, road rage and rage room, if you have rage rooms, it might actually, New York Times did an article, maybe it's been like 5-6 years ago, about rage rooms. It said that it actually has been shown to scientifically show that it causes more anger rather than less. That's really interesting. You think, fuck care. You think that if you have a healthy outlet, the same way with most things in life, if you have a healthy outlet for it, then seemingly it's okay. But for somehow, when it comes to anger, somehow it doesn't fit with that rule. Somehow it doesn't fit with the general scope of how we live life, which is that you have something frustrating, you speak it out to somebody else, and the kind of already deals with the challenge itself. And yet anger is something that, like, it just shouldn't be unleashed. What's going on over here? That's what I want to be able to understand and take a step back. So let's ask you a question. Anger, more often than not, is very often nidmeh to what? When Chazal uses it as a mashal, what does Chazal usually use as a mashal to express what anger is? Does anybody know? Oh, say that again, louder. Fire, where I'm from, right? Fire. What's fire? What does fire do?
Burn.
It spreads. Now, is fire an internal thing or is fire an external thing? If something is internally combusting, what does it usually do? Explodes. By definition, it's so interesting, Chazal uses specifically Eish to be the semel, to be the example of what anger is. Because anger is by definition external. It is by definition expanded outwards. I'm going to say something very big. There's nothing more anti-growth, especially in the world of Musar, than thinking externally rather than thinking internally. And that lies the problem with anger. Anger by definition is external. It needs to find a reason externally on the outside rather than on the inside. When a person gives themselves to anger, and this is the major point, when a person gives themselves to anger, they're training their mind to be anti-growth. How? They're training yourself to be consistently external rather than internal. It's a very big insight. It's very conceptual. I hope, really, really, really hope that you guys are hearing this. I think you are. When you train yourself consistently more and more and more, a certain motive of thought, and you deepen that motive of thought, you concretize that motive of thought, you only get sink deeper and deeper into it. You can only see the world through that prism the more you sink deeper into that. You can choose life. Life is very often a choice between, am I going to think externally or am I going to think internally? Am I going to think towards myself or am I going to look towards the outside problems? I had a meeting today, actually. I'm going to pause. What bothers me is when a person can get to a place where they can look back at past experiences that were negative and not take ownership over the actions. And that's where real maturity lies. The ability to look back and to take ownership. Now, ownership can mean painful things. It can mean you have to accept that you did something wrong. It can accept that I did something incorrect. But it's thinking internally, which is by definition what makes us greater people. When you think internally, as opposed to externally, that the problem always was with them, it was always their fault, it was always external reasons, it's always outside of you. Someone who can never see the external, I apologize, the internal, and always looks externally, you know, I hate to say it, but problems travel. Because you're gonna have a problem here. If you're not self-aware, if you're someone who's selfish, someone who's just completely narcissistic, that stuff will travel no matter where you go. But the person will always be unself-aware enough to never realize that it was always them, never something externally. That's where real maturity lies, is that gap between, I see you, to get that gap between understanding what's external and internal. And kas, just to bring the point home, kas trains us by constantly getting angry and feeding into anger and not holding yourself back and not working on your anger. And we'll talk about methods of how to work on your anger. We'll get to that in a second. Because obviously it feels like sometimes it's like always a flash, right? It just happens as opposed to, but again, by the way, that's part of the problem, is that you look at the world through, it just happened. We've spoken about this a million times. But the idea is taking ownership, kas trains you to think externally as opposed to internally. Because by definition, conceptually, anger is always externalized. No one yells at themselves, again, inherently. You yell externally at something. But never, has anybody ever punched their innards? No, they punch externally, right? It's always a steam always goes out externally, right? But you're hitting yourself. But yourself is external. Yes, go for it. Lisa, yes.
I have a comment. Not a question.
Okay, let's hear your comments. Dude, does it need to be paused?
No.
Okay, great. Okay, go.
Okay.
Lisa Deutsch, go ahead for it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was listening to Shira, and
first of all, kol kavod to you. That's chashuv. Okay.
All right. Anyway, so this rabbi said.
Yeah, continue. Yeah.
This rabbi said that when someone hurts you, get angry. Like, no matter whose fault it was, the first thing you have to do is like own your feelings, know those feelings are from you. And he had this really good quote. He said, it's not about letting them off the hook, it's about taking the hook out of your heart.
Oh, okay, very good. That's very good. That's in terms, I want to make it very clear, I want to just make a draw a distinction. I didn't hear the whole share. From what I'm hearing, it's about how to deal with the feeling that somebody may have hurt you and to not let it affect you further. But this is where, yeah, it sounds like, yeah. This is more where you have, this is where it could be legitimate, it could be not legitimate. It's just being aware of yourself. That's kind of like where I'm hitting on. It's not about how to then deal with the fact that I'm frustrated and to not to affect my day and to like, you know, so I can be able to go out with my friends and get my coffee. That's not what I mean. I know, by the way, I don't mean to be mezalzel there, to put it down. I mean, like, this is really, really getting to the nitty gritty of like psychological thinking, of being aware of self. So often we're so disconnected from what we feel, who we are, what we are, that we're already in stage two or three in the emotion, that we never really caught ourselves to feel where it's coming from, why is it there? We don't get into the nitty-gritty. I'm hitting in the nitty-gritty over here. Understand it conceptually. Anger constantly drives further that feeling that I can think externally rather than thinking internally. And the truth is, again, a lot of problems, not all problems, a lot of problems are externalized, a lot of problems are external from the people around you, but oftentimes, a lot of times, it's right here. This is where the real issue stands. If a person would be willing to stare at it, and nobody wants to look at themselves in a real way, nobody wants to confront self, the true self, not the airy-fairy self that my wife wrote, Baruch Hashem, I'm very happy about the IFS self of, oh, you're special, you're amazing, you're a neshama. No, 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 like the self that like is selfish, okay? The self that actually isn't so happy that other people are getting honor and you're not. Again, how exactly it manifests, I'm terrible at examples, but you get the nekuda, you get the point. Lior, you hear what I'm saying? Lior Lasky, you hear what I'm saying? You're saying good. What?
Wait, what's my...
Okay, Leia, you had a question. You said you wanted to offer maybe a different suggestion to answer this overall question. Go for it.
Yeah, I was just thinking that maybe cause is like a feeling that Hashem does have. Not like, obviously Hashem doesn't have feelings that Hashem doesn't do. Hashem doesn't have siddha. Hashem doesn't have jealousy. Hashem doesn't have any of those. But Hashem does have anger, and he shows how to act with it. He still...
Right, but then how do we understand, how does that in a sense answer the question, the overall question which we had was, it seems to be that kas is so different from all other midah, and that every other midah, it's usher both externally and internally. And yet somehow by kas, it's only if you let it out.
Reposition shows us how we should use our anger.
Meaning to say that there's a part of the midah that you could salvage, but the truth is, oh good, good, I hear the answer. I suggest it wouldn't fit with the Or HaSadikim's Mahalach, because the Or HaSadikim has a general approach, which is there's no, and this is something we forgot by the second shiur, I know it was like 7.5 months ago, but we always say, say it with me, there's no such thing as a bad
Mida.
Mida.
Like, you know, pizza, like, you get like a whole bark the whole day with
20 people. It's gorgeous, beautiful.
Wait.
Baruch Hashem. Yeah. Mom's amazing. Lior Lasky, where? This, go for it. Yes.
You can use it for the good. Like, yes. Sorry, but you can't be feeling guy. If you direct
anger, there are positive elements of gaiva that we learned about, that a person take care of about themselves. They don't just let their body, you know, just rot. It's not kaiva, but it is taking pride in oneself. Okay, could be. It could be. I hear what you're saying. The Ruch HaSidim did speak about it in the context of gaiva specifically. That comes from the same source, but I hear what you're saying. I definitely understand that it could be used for proper things. But I very much like what you said before about Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara, which is by definition stemming from kas. And really, kas is one of the worst. Kas is like, is to see.
Not for girls.
Well, let me explain. Let me explain, yeah.
Don't excuse yourself.
No. I'll explain. Lashon Hara is seeing. Lashon Hara is seeing. As we just learned in Tazria Metzara, Lashon Hara stems from what? Tzaras Ayin. Very good. Tzaras Ayin. You look at people in a negative sense. What's more external than looking at the negative of other people? They all are mushed together. They really, really stem from Gaiva, as the Pel Yoyetz explains. But the point nonetheless is, really, it just still speaks at the same Nakuda, which is that it's external. It's external. It's training yourself to look at the world through an external lens. You look at people in a bad way. You look down at other people. That's Gaiva. It's all stemming from the same place, that you're training yourself to look through the lens of the external world rather than the internal world. Religion, specifically Yiddishkeit, is all about turning inflexively, turning internally within yourself. And especially, this goes into the deeper mythology of, which is that if we're a chilek elokim yomah within us, and a person turns internally within themselves, you're actually, by getting in touch with who you truly are, you're getting in touch with the true you, which is what? Your neshama. When you can look internally and say, you know what, how can I make myself better? How can I improve myself on a deeper level? What did I do wrong in this situation? By the way, when it gets to fights with your spouse, believe me, there's no one person who's wrong. There's no one person who did it. I'm not going to apologize. You're direct. You're the one that has to apologize. There's always two to tango. That's the one of them. There's always, as they say, it always takes two to tango. Because there's always what to learn to look internally within. When I say always, you have to know what it means. You have to know. There's sometimes you're dealing with severely abusive people, severely not well people. There's always a lot of these things. But just assuming in a classic, unfortunately classic, machlokas between a husband and wife, between family members, there's always what you could have done better. Even if you feel justified, even if it was, and that's what bothered me so much about that specific story and that question, which I'm not going to say on the recording, which is that to ask that person and say, could you have done anything differently? Something is wrong here. There's something that's missing. A person needs to think internally, not externally. Could it be a mix in between? Could have been both them and you? Could have been a thousand things. But to it not even be a thought, that's not Yiddishkeit. Because I'll tell you why. The mindset, and this mindset specifically, of looking externally rather than internally, of that self-introspection, is what lies at the basis of Musar thought. As is said over in the Sefer Or Yisrael. Does anybody have Or Yisrael in front of them? Did I put it out in front of them? I did not. I'll read to you in English.
It's just in English.
It's just in English, and we'll read it together. Everyone say it in a hushed tone. It's like the Haggadah. Yes? Yes? Page 22 in hushed tones. Everyone say it together. The war is set. The evil urge lies in wait. Lust roams. Character traits rage. Because why? Just as a pause, internally within ourselves is a storm. Human beings are complex. Our minds are complex. Our emotions are complex. Our entire relationship with the world is complex. There are no weapons of war, says the Rasul Salanter. Can a weapon do its job without a soldier? It's interesting. He says there's no weapons of war. What do you mean? But then in the next sentence he says, can a weapon do its job without a willing soldier? Meaning to say there is weapons. There is weapons, our midos, but unfortunately, ourselves, our ability to control our midos are not perfect. They should be worked on better. So can a weapon do its job without a willing soldier? You, can you work on yourself? Can you stand up and look at yourself in the mirror and actually stand up, stand tall, be willing to look at the deeper, ugly parts, and be willing to say, I'm ready. Can we do that? Indeed! Say it together now. There is no hope for escaping snares of death unless we take hold of the weapons of war. What is that? Matters of fear of heaven and Musar. Yiras Shamayim and Musar. That's the only hope that we have. Musar is hope. We spoke about this in the first class. Musar is hope. Although ourselves, we can be broken. We can be messed up. We can be totally just bobbled, gemanjled, everything. And you can kind of give up any hope that you'll get whatever's going on up here straight. But the answer is Musar allows us the opportunity to feel that there's hope again. Self-improvement, self-work is what gives a person the ability to wake up in the morning. This is the biggest story. The hope and desire that maybe today will be a different day, Muster gives us that hope. Elisa, you have a question.
I don't think we still know what to do then, like practically.
Oh, we'll get there in a second. Okay. We are all soldiers on our personal battlefield. Muster is our weapon, and we need to be ready and willing to use it to fight the war internally within ourselves. If we're able to look inside of ourselves, stark honesty, and open to the faults, then efshar, there's hope that we can win. But to attempt to blame externally is the antithesis of self-improvement, and it prevents any effective weapons of Muster to have any hope to work. So think internally rather than externally. Okay, that's the Yisrael. Now, how do we do it? Great question, Aliza. Great question. Like we said before, that moment, again, we said usually if a person feels that they're angry, it almost feels like it just pops on you. It's already there. It's just a bolt of light and you're already there. What do they teach you actually in what they call anger management? You familiar with anger management? Right? Anger management... Right? Right, Leora, of course, yeah. Leora from
Asking Bali. For a friend.
Okay. So, yes, exactly. How does one work on themselves? How does one specifically engage in anger management? How do we do it? So what they tell you, actually, one of the first things they teach you is that it's not possible to be angry and to not have any physical symptoms that happened prior to that point. This is very interesting. Usually, the same way if you take a camera and have, you know, like a super slow-mo camera, you can kind of break down the micro-reactions of a person. You can kind of see that there's a little bit of a vein that pops over here. You can even feel like a hot flash. Some people feel like it in their stomach. Some people feel it in their legs. I know for a fact that I feel like I'm being, like, pulled up in, you know, like you go, like, in the plane and you're just coming up and you feel, like, a little bit of lightness. So I feel that. That's how I feel. But it takes many years to notice that. What? I know you would say that. Okay, we're just flying up. And you feel that little bit of lightness, and you get that emotion, that's when you notice it. If you can start to already pay attention to the micro initial reactions, there's hope. Is anybody familiar with computer hacking? Anybody familiar? So computer hacking, right? For those who don't know these things, right? My uncle, by the way, was the head of internet security for Microsoft, whatever. No big deal. Yeah, okay. It doesn't mean I know anything about it. Okay, the point is, but let's explain. Hacking is, let's say, for example, you have encryption. You have a company that spends billions of dollars to encrypt it. WhatsApp is encrypted. Signal is encrypted. All these things are encrypted. But how does the Mossad, for example, how do they develop all these technologies that are able to break through? They have something, actually, is a software called Pegasus software. Anybody know about this? Pegasus? One of the reasons, okay, I'm going to put this up. Hacking is defined not by the fact you can break a code. It's the fact, and this is modern day hacking, is where you can catch the moment that there's a connection. Anytime there's a connection, there's always a sliver of a moment that you as a hacker can slide in between the message sent and the message received. The message sent and received, encrypted, but there's that moment where they both meet, where a person who's a hacker is able to hop that moment. That's what hacking is. Hacking is getting into that one little second and making sure that you take over as opposed to something else taking over. In a sense, we can hack our brains. We can hack our sense of anger. If we can catch that moment, if you can become hyper aware of that specific moment and be understanding of yourself, of what causes it. Think deeply. What are the types of things that really hurt your feelings? What are the things that just get you totally just angry? What are those things that just drive you nuts? Can I tell you what it is? This I'm for sure pausing. When a person becomes hyper aware of what things drive you crazy, in your mind, prepare yourself to a certain degree and say, it's gonna be as bad as it is. And when you're actually faced with reality, it's probably not as bad as it actually was, and you can kind of just relax. You walk into imagine anybody here are roommates, anybody wanna talk about, challenging, problems with his roommates? No. Yeah, no? Right. That's not the challenge. We are. Anyways, my point only is to say is that there is an opportunity, there is a moment where you could prepare yourself accordingly, that you could catch those things, that you can step aside and prepare yourself before you get into the problem rather than already finding yourself having reacted. This is the big challenge of life. So this is one aspect of pertaining and maintaining, and yes, even suppressing your anger, which to suppress actually shows more signs of success than letting it out in a quote-unquote rage room. Which, by the way, it's a funny thing. What is a rage room? Like we said before, you just go into it and you just smash everything in there. Is it really, is that a positive development? No, it's not. Let's go for it.
So, you might have, like, turn that anger into, like, resolve your anger at home, and change it into, like, pity instead of not help.
Okay, if that helps you to curb it a little bit more, we don't want to keep it at pity, but I agree with you. There is, no, agree, 100%. If you think you're going to react in, like, really badly, for sure, whatever curbs it to being, from being something really destructive to just, okay, you can manage, but we do want to get it to a certain place. Although you're right, now that I think about it, and I apologize, I jumped on it a little too quickly, but I think what you're saying is true, which is that if you can turn it, not from pity, but maybe from empathy.
You can turn it to anything.
True, true, right, for sure. If you're already turning it to something, it means you're in the driver's seat.
Will never know the anger or whatever
it is. Right, right, that's very true.
This
is a very, it's a very good mida. Yeah, it's a very good mida, which is, okay. What? Elke, you're saying good. Okay, here you go. But my point only is to say, is that if you're already, in a sense, turning it to, from one point to another, it's already a good sign that you're in the driver's seat. That's what you want to be. You want to be in that place where you're driving. I would say that not necessarily pity, but empathy, and I'll explain why. Empathy is from a place not of above here and you're there. It's more of a place of, I can see that there's internal struggles. Right? I spoke about this in one of my peleos here recently about gaiva, which is one of the ways to work on your gaiva is to realize you're no better than anybody else. You got problems, you got skeletons in your closet, you have bodies behind you of people that you've hurt and you've pained, and serious, like, you have severe, severe challenges in your life that you've also done to people. So, like, the fact that this person, like, to be better than anybody else, we all live in a glass house and you better not throw a stone, as they say. Right? It's a biggest life. Same thing also when it comes to this, which is you want to get to a place where you're not looking at the person from above, you're looking at the person from a place of true empathy, to realize that this person doesn't want to be the way they want to be. And where does that come from? It comes from really internalizing within yourself that your true self is your neshama, and that person also is a neshama, and you see them for who they really should be. Yeah, exactly. This is where it is. Okay, listen, Mirza Hashem's Baruch, we're going to stop here.